Yes, Torvald. I've changed my clothes. I shan't sleep tonight. It's not so very late. Sit down here, Torvald. You and I have a lot to talk over. Sit down. This will take some time. I have a lot to talk to you about. No, that's just it. You don't understand me. And I've never understood you until tonight. No, you mustn't interrupt. Just listen to what I have to say. Torvald, this is a reckoning. Doesn't it strike you that there's something strange about the way we're sitting here? We've been married for 8 years now. Don't you realize that this is the first time that we two, you and I, man and wife, have had a serious talk together? For 8 whole years. No, longer than that. Ever since we first met, we've never exchanged a serious word on any serious subject. I'm not talking about worries. What I'm saying is that we've never sat down in earnest together to get to the bottom of a single thing. That's just the point. You've never understood me. I've been dreadfully wronged, Torvald. First by Papa, and then by you. You never loved me. You've only found it pleasant to be in love with me. It's true, Torvald. When I lived at home with Papa, he used to tell me his opinion about everything. And so I had the same opinion. If I thought differently, I had to hide it from him or he wouldn't have liked it. He called me his little doll. And he used to play with me just as I played with my dolls. Then I came to live in your house. I mean, when I passed out of Papa's hands into yours, you arranged everything to suit your taste, and so I came to have the same taste as yours. Or I pretended to, I'm not quite sure which. Perhaps it was a bit of both. Well, sometimes one and sometimes the other. And now that I've come to look at it, I lived here like a pauper, simply from hand to mouth. I lived by performing tricks for you, Torvald. That was how you wanted it. You and Papa have committed a grievous sin against me. It's your fault that I've made nothing of my life. No, that's something I've never been. I thought I had, but really, I've never been happy. No, only gay. And you've always been so kind to me. But our home has been nothing but a playroom. I've been your doll wife here, just as at home I was Papa's doll child. And the children have been my dolls in their turn. I liked it when you came and played with me just as they liked it when I came and played with them. That's what our marriage has been, Torvald. Whose lessons? Mine or the children's? Torvald, you're not the man to teach me to be a real wife to you. And how am I fit to bring up the children? Didn't you say yourself a little while ago that you daren't trust them to me? But you were perfectly right. I'm not fit for it. There's another task that I must finish first. I must try to educate myself. And you're not the man to help me with that. I must do it alone. That's why I'm leaving you. I must stand on my own feet if I'm to get to know myself and the world outside. That's why I can't stay here with you any longer. I want to go at once. I'm sure Christina will take me in for the night. It's no good you're forbidding me anything any longer. I shall take the things that belong to me, and I'll take nothing from you, now or later. Tomorrow I shall go home. To my old home, I mean. It'll be easier for me to find something to do there. I must try to get some experience, Torvald. I can't consider that. All I know is that this is necessary for me. What do you consider is my most sacred duty? I have another duty just as sacred. My duty to myself. I don't believe that any longer. I believe that before everything else, I'm a human being, just as much as you are. Or at any rate, I shall try to become one. I know quite well that most people would agree with you, Torvald, and that you have warrant for it in books, but I can't be satisfied any longer with what most people say and with what's in books. I must think things out for myself and try to understand them. Torvald, I don't really know what religion is. I only know what Pastor Henson taught me when I was confirmed. He told me that religion was this, that, and the other. When I get away from all this, and I'm on my own, I want to look into that, too. I want to see if what Pastor Henson told me was right. Or at least, if it is right for me. Well, Torvald, it's hard to say. I don't really know. I'm so bewildered about it all. All I know is that I think quite differently from you about things. And now I find that the law is quite different from what I thought. And I simply can't convince myself that the law is right. That a woman shouldn't have the right to spare her old father on his deathbed or to save her husband's life. I can't believe things like that. No, I don't. But now I mean to get into that too. I must find out which is right. The world or I. I've never seen things so clearly and certainly as I do tonight. Yes. What? No. That's just it. I can hardly bear to, Torvald, because you've always been so kind to me. But I can't help it. I don't love you anymore. Yes. Absolutely clear and certain. That's why I won't stay here any longer. Yes, I can, indeed. It was this evening when the miracle didn't happen, because then I saw that you weren't the man I'd always thought you. For 8 years, I'd waited so patiently for... goodness knows. I realized that miracles don't happen every day. Then this disaster overtook me, and I was completely certain that now the miracle would happen. When Krogstad's letter was lying out there, I never imagined for a moment that you would submit to his conditions. I was completely certain that you would say to him, "Go and publish it to the whole world," and when that was done, I thought, I was completely certain that you would come forward and take all the blame. That you'd say, "I'm the guilty one." You think that I should never have accepted a sacrifice like that from you? No, of course you shouldn't. But who would have taken my word against yours? That was the miracle I hoped for. Dreaded. It was to prevent that I was ready to kill myself. Thousands of women have. Perhaps. But you don't talk or think like the man I could bind myself to. When your first panic was over, not about what threatened me, but about what might happen to you, and when there was no more danger, Then, as far as you were concerned, it was just as if nothing had happened at all. I was simply your little songbird, your doll. And from now on, you would handle it more gently than ever because it was so delicate and fragile. At that moment, Torvald, I realized that for 8 years, I'd been living here with a strange man, and that I'd borne him 3 children. I can't bear to think of that. I could tear myself to little pieces. As I am now, I'm not the wife for you. Perhaps, if your doll is taken away from you, that's just why it must happen. I couldn't spend the night in a strange man's house. You know quite well that that wouldn't last. Goodbye, Torvald. I won't see my children. I'm sure they're in better hands than mine. As I am now, I'm no good to them. How can I say? I have no idea what will become of me. Listen, Torvald. I've heard that when a wife leaves her husband's house, as I'm doing now, he's legally freed from all his obligations to her. Anyhow, I set you free from them. You're not to feel yourself bound in any way, nor shall I. We must both be perfectly free. Look, here's your ring back. Give me mine. Even that. There. Now it's all over. Here are your keys. The servants know all about running the house, better than I did. Tomorrow, when I'm gone, Christina will come and pack all of my things that I've brought from home. I'll have them sent after me. I know I shall often think of you, and the children, and this house. No, you must never do that. Nothing. Nothing. No, I tell you, I couldn't take anything from a stranger. Oh, Torvald, there would have to be the greatest miracle of all. Both of us would have to be so changed that... Ah. Oh, Torvald. I don't believe in miracles any longer. That our life together could be a real marriage. Goodbye.